Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi al-karim wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. 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 Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He praises the scholars of the religion. He praises them because they bear in their chest the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He praises them because they explain the religion and the Sunnah to the people. The ulama, the scholars, they bear in their chest and in their mind the Quran and the Sunnah. They inherited this from the Sahaba. And the Sahaba, of course, they were the first generation of ulama. They were the first generation of ulama, and then from them they passed on the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah from generation to generation. And this is the succession of the Prophet that will continue until the Day of Judgment. The Quran and the Sunnah is in the hearts and minds of the ulama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those with him, they are strong against the kuffar and merciful to each other. You see them prostrating and making bowing. يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانه سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود. You see them seeking the bounty of Allah. Their signs are in their faces. They have the traces of sajda. And also Allah praises the Sahaba, the first generation of ulama, by saying, رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه السابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار. The early ones that went before, from the Muhajirin and the Ansar. The Muhajirin, those who left Mecca to Medina. The Ansar, the Sahaba who helped them in Medina. Allah, He praises them, saying, they seek ibtaghu bi ihsan radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu wa al-Madina taba'uhum bi ihsan radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. Allah is praising them and those who follow them in their footsteps. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with them. So the Ansar and the Muhajirin, Allah is praising them, and then those who follow in the footsteps of the Ansar and the Muhajirin, those are those to be praised. And though, although Allah praises the Sahaba in these ayahs, without a doubt He's praising them, describing them. There were people in the time of the Sahaba that used to slander them. They used to slander them, back like them, say harsh, wrong things about them. And so they would try to misguide people from hearing the message of Islam. They opposed the message of Islam. They opposed the words of the Prophet ﷺ and the deen of Islam. So the way that they tried to prevent the spread of Islam, or the message that the Sahaba were carrying, was by slandering them and saying the wrong things to them. They said that the Sahaba were not on the right path. They said that the Sahaba were seeking the dunya. Or they said that the Sahaba did not carry the religion properly. And they said that they only sought the pleasing of people instead of the pleasing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, the consensus of this ummah is that anybody who slanders or belittles the Sahaba or mentions them in any way that is other than good, then he is misguided. Sahaba, the first generation of ulama, there's no doubt that they were upright people. And they propagated the religion the way that they heard it from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's no doubt about that. This is because, and also the scholars, they are the followers in the footsteps of the Sahaba. And anybody who slanders them, then they are slandering the religion of Allah itself. They're slandering the religion of Allah Ta'ala. This is a very important point, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam. The reason is that anybody who defames and slanders the ulama, he's defaming and slandering Islam itself. Because how else do we know about Islam except through the ulama? Through the scholars. The scholars are the ones who explain Islam to the people. So if people slander and backlight the scholars, then as if the religion itself, people are going to doubt the religion itself. They'll only learn the rulings from the scholars. If people say the scholars, they slander them, backbite them, say they're misguided, then people will not follow the rulings of Allah SWT. What are they going to follow? They're going to follow the shahawat. They're going to follow their own feelings, instead of following the rulings of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Therefore, anybody who defames or slanders the companions is slandering the religion itself, because they are the ones who convey the religion to us. They are the ones who brought Islam to us through them. So if we slander that means by which the religion came to us, that's the defaming the religion itself. This is one of the biggest means that people use to turn people away from Islam and have doubts about it. They slander the means by which the religion has reached us. If they can't openly criticize or say or reject the rulings of Islam, because they know that those rulings are haq and true, so they slander the one who conveys it. If they disagree with the ruling of Islam, they cannot criticize that directly, so they slander the one who conveys that ruling, in order to prevent people from following the ruling of Allah, or prevent causing doubt about the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we doubt the trustworthiness of the Sahaba and the ulama, then we have to doubt the religion itself, because the religion is conveyed through them. And so in the time of the Sahaba, as time went on, people began to slander the ulama of Sunnah. Any alim who conveyed the Sunnah, they would slander it. I'll give you one example of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, who conveyed the Sunnah to the people of his time. So people began to spread lies and backbiting about him, because he was conveying the Sunnah. And such is the Sunnah of Allah's deen, that whenever the people who convey the Sunnah, people would slander them and say they don't know anything about reality, they don't know about the world, or they would say other bad things. They claim that the scholars only can memorize things and they don't convey the message correctly to the people. And so this creates the doubt about our deen. They explain the Sunnah of the Prophet and what it means. This is the role of all the ulama, to explain the Sunnah and what it means. The alim or the scholar does not convey his own feelings, his own beliefs, his own opinions. He conveys the Sunnah to the people. That's the only role of the ulama. So slandering the ulama who convey the religion to the people is slandering the religion itself. Some people may not realize that, but that's exactly what happens. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, the Prophets didn't leave behind gold and silver, but left behind knowledge. Whoever seizes it gets gotten a great fortune. So the scholars are the inheritors of the Prophets. They inherit the Prophets. And so slandering the scholars, slandering the succession of the Prophets on the earth. So this is one of the grave dangers. Slandering them or destroying them by trying to destroy their image or defaming them or backbiting them will result in people doubting the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They will no longer trust the rulings about Allah's deen, and of course this will mislead others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He praised the scholars in the Quran, and He warned against the danger of riba, the danger of backbiting, talking about somebody behind his back with something that he doesn't like. If it's true, then it's called riba. If it's false, then it's called buhtan, which is a grave and a graver sin, much, much graver sin. Speaking ill about somebody and he's not there to hear it or defend himself. To go and slander somebody or say something about him, he's not there to defend himself. Allah says, as if he's eating his flesh, his dead flesh. Somebody's dead, a dead body, and going and eating that flesh, then as if the person, when a person backbites, as if he's eating the flesh of a person. And there was two women, there's a narration in Imam al-Bukhari, he mentions that there was two women that in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, go to them and they were sick or ill. So he said, go to them and send them a bowl and tell them to vomit into the bowl. So they vomited meat into that bowl. And the Prophet ﷺ said, that is the flesh of the people they were backbiting. They were eating the flesh, they were backbiting and slandering them. And if this is for common people, then what about the ulama? And they say the flesh of the ulama is poisoned. Somebody's backbiting about them, they're eating poison meat, harming themselves. So anybody who slanders or backbites are in a grave, grave sin. And the person who speaks about the Prophet or the scholars or the people who teach the Sunnah and enlighten and educate people about the Sunnah and defend the Sunnah, then they're doing a very great sin. See how, especially people who practice innovations, when somebody teaches the Sunnah, they can't say, we don't like the Sunnah. So what do they say? They slander the person who convicted. Oh, he did this, he said this. They make up stories about them or think against the person. So that's one of the evils of the nafs. The evils that we cannot do that. We cannot make war against the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to the evils and the evil inclinations of the self. Person, they have to withhold their anger. When they hear something that maybe they're doing incorrectly, they have to accept it, not get angry and make war against it. Right? This is for any person, myself, anybody, they're doing something that perhaps is incorrect. When they hear the end, the knowledge, they shouldn't get angry and fight back against it, but they should accept it. They shouldn't slander and backbite the person who conveyed the message to them. That person is just conveying the message. And so they are doing what is commanded of them. And the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that in the hadith narrated by Abu Hurairah, that backbiting, saying something that you did, somebody else dislikes behind his back. So Abu Hurairah, he said, what if it's true? The Prophet ﷺ said, if it's true, then it's backbiting. If it's not true, then it's even greater sin. It's moved down. It is much, much greater. And backbiting is one of the major sins. It's not a minor sin. A major sin. And as you know, if we pray Jummah, one Jummah to another, one Umrah to another, one Ramadan to another, it expiates the sins in between, the minor sins. But if there's major sins being done, it will prevent the mind, even any of the sins, from being forgiven. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. If you leave the big things, the major sins you're forbidden, then we will expiate your minor sins. So the prayers between each prayer, if we stay away from the major sins, then inshallah Allah will forgive the minor sins. But if there's any major sins, it will prevent the prayers from forgiving our sins. So in fact, all the minor sins will build up and build up and build up until they destroy your person. As the Prophet said, the minor sins, they build up like sticks of wood until it becomes a big fire that will harm a person. So, avoiding the major sins is the key to having our minor sins forgiven. Beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, backbiting and slandering, especially the people of knowledge, is a very, very grave danger. And we have to rescue ourselves from this great evil, then you avoid the way of the misguided people. The people of knowledge are the best of the people. They are the best of the people. They carry the Book of Allah. Who else is conveying the Book of Allah? The ulama. They're the ones conveying the rulings, the halal and haram. They have a big status. And we don't know that until on the Day of Judgment. on the day of judgment, we'll see the true status of people. Khafidatum rafi'at. Allah will lower people down and raise people up. So the kings and rich and famous people, maybe they're so famous in this world that they have no value on the day of judgment, they're being lowered. And the people who convey the deen of Allah and explain it to the people according to the Quran and the Sunnah, according to the correct message, they are the people of Allah on the earth. They are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're explaining the deen of Allah to the people of the earth. That's the only reason why Allah created this whole universe. So people obey Him. So those people are teaching people how to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're the best of people. If we don't slander those people and backbite them, that's a very, very big sin in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They guide people to the correct ruling, and they educate the ignorant and the illiterate. Some people, they make up rulings, they have so little knowledge about Islam. Really, this happened before, you know, I mentioned to him that if a woman is wearing nail polish, then she cannot make wudu properly, you know, her prayer is not accepted. Right? And everybody, that's pretty common sense. He said, who are you to say that our prayer is not? Who are you? You're making yourself Allah? I said, I'm just explaining the ruling, Islamic ruling. Everybody is a very common sense ruling. That if you cannot make wudu properly, then the condition, the shot for your prayer to be valid is to have wudu. If you pray without wudu, then your prayer is not valid. He said, who are you? Are you Allah? Explaining the rules in different ways. So this will happen sometimes. People, they, in the beginning, they don't have that much knowledge, so then they make rules. So inshallah, through time, people absorb the knowledge, then they change their attitude, inshallah. So the ummah, they guide people to the correct rulings of the religion, and so they will see the effects on the day of judgment. They'll see the effects on the day of judgment. Another thing, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, whoever does not beautify the Qur'an is not from us. Man lam yulangi bil Qur'an fa laysa minna. The word yulangi actually means to say in a very beautiful voice, to sing actually. But this means according to the rules of tajweed and beautifying. So some person, he said, oh, why are you singing the Qur'an? Don't beautify it. Say it in a mean voice. Didn't even know that this is the sunnah of the Prophet. The Sunnah, if you don't beautify it, you're disobeying Prophet Muhammad. If you don't beautify it, you're disobeying Prophet Muhammad. So again, you know, the lack of knowledge causes people to reject what is correct and what is from the Sunnah. So we have to really learn what is correct before we can criticize or say anything wrong about others. So they slander the people of Allah, the people of knowledge, even though they know they're the best people of the earth. Anyone who mentions them with anything but good words is misguided, and he is on an incorrect path. Because they're slandering the people of knowledge is one of the major, major sins. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, whoever says something knowing that it might be a lie, he is one of the liars. Somebody hears something and he repeats it, he doesn't know if it's true or not, and he is one of the two liars. In another narration, he is one of the liars. So even just repeating something that somebody hears, he doesn't know if it's true or not, but just repeating it, that is one considered a lie. Somebody doing a lie also. And finally, to close inshallah, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he made a very good observation. He said, many people, they avoid the major sins. For example, they don't do zina, they don't steal. But then when it comes to the tongue, they do so many things. They say so many bad things with their tongue, and they don't realize that the tongue actually is also a major sin, a source of a lot of sins on the day of judgment. The source of a lot of the sins on the day of judgment. And so the one has to be careful to avoid great sins by the tongue, such as backbiting, and even the heart commits sins. Like, for example, arrogance and showing off, which is sins of the heart. So the tongue can also do many, many major sins. The Prophet ﷺ told Mu'adh to control the held on to his thumb. And he went to Mu'adh, said, control this. And he held his own thumb. He said, and Mu'adh said, are we going to be accountable for this? And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, what else do you think would cause people to be thrown on their faces except the practice of their tongues? To be thrown into the hellfire because of what the tongue did. So many people, they like to get together in gatherings and backbite and slander the scholars, not having the least respect for the religion. They think they don't feel like they have a good sitting unless they say something bad about the imam or about the scholars and the ulama. Then they feel like they get satisfied after them. This is what the shaykh is saying here, these are not my words, this is what the shaykh said here. They like to get together and slander the scholars and don't have the least respect for the religion and what the scholars have in their heart of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They do not fulfill the right of the deen that is being conveyed by the people of knowledge and the scholars. They commit this grave ill sin of speaking ill of the scholars, yet they think that they're doing a good deed as if to read in the Quran. Very true. Very, very true statement. The Shaykh is making that people that think they're doing a good deed when they say these things about the ulama. No. So, you know, and again, the very important point is that when people slander the ulama, they're actually slandering Islam itself. Slandering the deen. Slandering Islam itself. Because the ulama, they just convey the deen to the people. They're just repeating it to the people and not making up the rulings. It's not up to any alim. If any alim in the whole world, he does not have the right to say anything other than what has been conveyed by the ulama from the Prophet. So, if the person is conveying that, and somebody says, oh, that's not appropriate, that's not good, we shouldn't say those, then he's just slandering the deen itself. And a brother told me, he said the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that whoever controls between what is between his jaws and his legs will enter paradise. So somebody said, oh, that's not appropriate. How can you say that in a khutbah? The Prophet ﷺ said it. You're slandering Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. You're saying that you cannot say that he's saying something wrong. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he said it. So you're saying that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ did something wrong? Slandering Rasulullah himself. And this is, you know, the level that it reaches. The people, the words of Allah himself, or the words of the Prophet, they came to the point where they're making fun of what the Prophet himself said. And then, you know, several people, they think that this is inappropriate, yet the sin is so common. And then several people, I've heard this from many different people. This person has a girlfriend, this person has a girlfriend. Somebody himself, he came to me when we were after a khutbah and the hadith about the person Allah will not look for on the Day of Judgment, will not speak to him, and will have a curse of Allah in the anger, a sheikh who committed them. So, an old person, a sheikh means an old man. So the person came to me and said, Alhamdulillah, I'm not an old man yet. Came to me, said to me directly. So, you know, this is, and then people say, don't talk about this. Oh, it's the religion, it's just the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, he did the scholars and may Allah make us of them and help us to convey the deen properly. They're just repeating what the proper knowledge is for people to help them obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's hard on the nafs sometimes, but we have to change, when we absorb the knowledge over time, the nafs becomes changed. And then we begin to love the knowledge. And, you know, that ill effect of the nafs goes away. In the beginning, you know, people, they might have an ill feeling. But over time, the more we learn, the more we sit in the classes, the more we absorb the knowledge, then the ill effects of the nafs go away. And people begin to love it and they become very devoted to their teachers, inshallah. We close it, the Shaykh, he said, Allah, we ask you to make our tongues pure and instill love in our hearts for all believers. May Allah put love in our hearts for all believers. Do not let us have enmity or hatred for any of the believers, inshallah. or related to those who, when we speak, we say good things and we take refuge in you from the tongue that will lead us to the hellfire. Allah says, وَالْأَسْوَرِنَا الْأَنْزَانِ الْأَفْرِجِ مَفِي خُسْرِ إِلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِنْ صَمِحَانِ وَتَوَاسُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. I have blessed all of you by the Quran and Ameen, and accept from you this blessed month, inshallah, and give you full reward for everything. We ask Allah to let us end this month with full acceptance, and Allah to let us end this month with every action of ours accepted, and make the end of it the best of these. The best of this month, the end of it. May Allah make the best of our actions, the end of them. May Allah make the best of our actions, the last of them. May Allah make the best of our words, the last of them. May Allah make the happiest day of ours, the day we meet Him, inshallah. May Allah pray for your patience, and may Allah reward all of you. Please forgive me for anything, inshallah. May Allah say, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa alayhi wa sallam, wa Allahu ta'ala anhu wa sallam.
Yeah, I read one hadith, you know, yes. About the Imam. Yes. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the Hazrat Maaz, don't make the fitna in front of your people. Because an Imam has to be responsible to make responsible, to not make anything the people are not happy for regarding, you know. Even if it is Sharia or Islam.
Okay. The answer, the brother brought up a point that the hadith of Muaz, he was leading the prayer, he was reading Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-Nisa initially. Surah Al-Baqarah is about, you know, about two jurisprudence. He's reading three jurisprudence and Surah Al-Baqarah. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, are you making it too hard on the people? They can't pray that long. 3 hours, two hours in prayer, standing in Isha prayer.
Because he said, you must call him to the Jews of Munkir. And you're a Muslim. That's why he said, you don't bring the fitna in the among your people.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the person who follows the Imam, his responsibility to the Imam has the same responsibility for that too.
So yes, the Imam should not recite two juz in two rakat. He should not recite that long. That's not good because it's too hard. There's old people, there's sick people. These people have children they have to take care of. So it should not be like two or three juz. But if we look at the Sunnah of the Prophet when he recited, that's what we should go by. Generally he recited, you know, in different prayers, he recited different amounts. More in Fajr prayer, and then Dhuhr, and then Isha. Maghrib was short, and Asr was shorter. But what he recited was, you know, quite a bit of Quran, actually. But of course it's always good to make the prayer light, not too hard, because there's old people and sick people. And if the prayer is very long, then the sick person, it will be a fitna for him, or the old person, because he doesn't want to leave his prayer, and at the same time he has that illness. So it's good to make the prayers long. It's a good point. That's awesome.
Be easy on the
offering.
Make it easy for
them. Right. Yes. Well, what is, and things that are permissible. You know, if that's something, reading Surah Baqarah, you don't have to read Surah Baqarah. Then reading after the Quran is optional. So if something is permissible, it's not against the Sunnah, it's not against what the, you know, book. If it's against the pathway of the Ummah, then we shouldn't go to the innovations. Because most people did think that it's innovations. They lead away from the straight path. So we have to hold on to the succession of the prophets and hold on to that. And by doing the innovations, they go away from the path of the Sunnah. They go away from that connecting path back to Prophet Muhammad. So we have to go follow the Ulama and respect them and follow that path, but not hate the Ulama and make war against them and fight against them. That's something that they have to be there, inshallah.
Yeah.
Allahumma, I'm not lying. I'm not lying.